Let us begin this service by singing number 172. 172. Praise to thee in Zion, Lord, for thee. There be the day of thou. O thou, the God that hears prayer, before the earth shall bow. Number 172. Of the land of Egypt out of the house of bondage, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them who serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guilty that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt be no manner of work, thou nor thy sons nor thy daughters, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. Further, we read to you from God's holy word, the Gospel of Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Matthew 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing the sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourself, ye have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the scabbard on quenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John will bait him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh down to me. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lightening upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and it be multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now first we read the forum for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we without children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath in so much that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This dipping in a sprinkling with water teaches us that by the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to look and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification, salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesses and seals unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesses and seals unto us that he does make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopt us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to a profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son seals unto us that he does wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, then we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewal of our life till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Certainly, there are in all covenants that are contained two parts. Therefore, as we are by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, and with all our souls, with all our minds, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a sealed and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young field may not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without the knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in the generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifies with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was the seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou, who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with a flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou, who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel to the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was taken place, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing the cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor lead this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last they may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request you to arise. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are this mind, that you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that all the world's children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, that we acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testament and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the truth and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, that you promise and intend to see these children, then come to the years of discretion, whereof you are fathers and mothers, instructors, and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. That is your answer. It is, parents, for the second time in your married life that the Lord has blessed you with a child. And it is in accordance with what the Lord has said in his word, that children are an inheritance of the Lord. I hope that you may realize that too in your married life. Now this morning, that holy sacrament of baptism that shall be administered upon your children, we are ready to place a stamp upon the forehead, and that water that can well wipe away, but no more that sign, that mark that remains there forever and forever. Baptism that refers, as you know, to the blood and the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is nothing in our life so necessary as death, that we are washed and cleansed in the blood of Christ. We cannot do that ourselves. No. That is not in our hands. But you have heard this morning already that John the Baptist, that he declares about Christ, that he would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I hope, parents, that your children, that they are spared for you, and you for the children, but that the Lord works that meet in the heart at his appointed time, and that they were privileged, that they would say, as Luther once said, and as written on the wall in on the Wartburg, I am baptized. And that they become by faith a pleading ground upon the throne of grace. And for yourself, parents, that the Lord may bind you at the throne of grace with his children. Most of the time, baptism, as our father said, said that in that form, it is a custom. It is too bad. So it is many times. But that it now become reality in our life by the word of the Holy Spirit. Not only for you, parents, and for your children, but for all of us. And that the Lord binds it graciously upon our hearts, binds it upon our souls, and that it drives us together, parents and children, that it drives us to the throne of grace with a prayer that we will sing after baptism, gracious God, my heart renew, make my spirit right and true. And what follows, the first stanza of 142. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Carry Elizabeth, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Baptism with thanksgiving and ask the Lord for his blessing upon our gathering. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son Jesus Christ and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism, we beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be partially and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and men fully fight against and overcome in the devil and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Lord, that it may please the altar free and sovereign grace to come firm that holy sacrament to those dear children. Remember them in mercy, that they came in this world not in vain, are not only for this temporal life, but that it is thus may please thee to be born in Zion, and to receive a name and a place better than of sons and of daughters. Lord, that thy church be built up also through those children, and that those parents were privileged to be bound at the throne of grace. By day and by night, with all the needs and with all the wants, that those children in the day of judgment never shall testify against them, but that they time and again lay together at the throne of grace, not that we are worthy in ourselves, but for the worthiness of thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, the power of his blood, and also his resurrection in our heart to receive for time and for eternity. Lord, have mercy upon the whole congregation. Look down upon all the baptized people, and that we together may realize the meaning of that holy sacrament and the necessity that that blood and that Spirit of Christ be applied to our hearts, shall it be well for time and eternity. Open thy word and testimony that shall speak about in this moment to us. Be with all the gatherings of thy people over the length and over the breadth of the earth, also the mission field and those that labor there. We commend them all at the throne of grace. We are so dependent in speaking, in hearing, in catechizing, in everything. Without thee we can do nothing. We have no strength and no wisdom, but Lord, that we receive out of thy fullness grace for grace, and that is Sabbath day, that it for young and old, great and small, that it was not a burden, but that it was a blessing and a joy for our heart. Lord, come in our midst with thy blessed Spirit, and that thy word be opened for all thy servants who are called by thee, and that we also experience that the Lord is at our right and left, and that we are looking forward also in this morning and in this whole Sabbath day for the honor of thy precious name, for the welfare of Zion, for the conversion of sinners, for the establishing of thy people in the most holy faith. We commend it to one another at the throne of grace. Look upon us from on high, Lord, and that our gathering be in the fear of thy holy name, and that we experience thy presence in our hearts and in our souls. Those that cannot gather with us in hospitals and in the rooms, Lord, thou knowest the needs and wants also of those that are still in the hospital. We commend them both at the throne of grace in the needs and in the wants, and that for time and for eternity, that the day is coming that they and we have to meet our Maker, and that is only possible when we are covered. With the righteousness and holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We commend them at the throne of grace, also those who are in their homes and cannot gather with us. Visit them in thy love and in thy favor, give an undeserved blessing in their hearts. Remember also that old brother who is with us in this moment in the church, far above expectation, for himself and for us too. But Lord, thou art a God of wonders. Remember him further in the weakness of his body. Deliver his soul and strengthen him by the almighty power. Also one of our brothers, elders, the oldest one amongst us, who had lost yesterday evening his only brother, who was not still in this world. Death is coming so unexpectedly, time and again. Lord, strengthen him and that family in the bereavement. Sanctify it to all of their hearts. Teach us all to number our days, that we apply ourselves to wisdom, and that we have more desire to die than to live. Remember all the widows, orphans and widows, and all the boys in the service, all the needs in the family. Look upon us together, also our government, and all those that rule over us. Give us together grace to bow under thy eternal and infallible word, and remember us in our gathering in this day. Grant unto us together an undeserved blessing with the pardon and remission of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 243. Your offering will today for the building fund. 243. Invasion to exchange God's faith from out the people. One I take, and what follows, number 243. beloved congregation, we read by the prophet Isaiah that not only that prophet had spoken about the coming of Christ in this world, but also about the coming of John the Baptist. There is spoken about his person, but also about and concerning his work. And at the end of that prophecy, there it is said, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And now it has pleased the Lord to reveal his glory in the days of the Old Testament already, in that pillar of the, in that pillar that the Lord gave to his people in the Old Testament, in the daytime and in the night, that cloud that was always there about them, that pillar of cloud. The Lord revealed his glory in the tabernacle. He revealed his glory in the temple, but he has also especially revealed his glory when John the Baptist had baptized the Son of God and the mediator of the church. This morning I will say something about the baptizing of Christ. My text that is in Matthew 3, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. We have three thoughts to consider, and that is, in the first place, Christ's request. He asked John that he would baptize him. In the second place, we have the refusal of that John. And then finally, the victory of Christ. A really a wonderful thing that Christ came to John the Baptist to be baptized of him. The emphasis this morning that is first upon the word then. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan. Then, that was at the same time that John the Baptist was baptizing so many people. They came, as you know, out of the Word of God. They came from every side to be baptized of him. Not only the heathens, but they came also out of Jerusalem. Thus, so many Jewish people that came also to the baptism of John. He had started to preach, and his preaching that made upon the people a great impression. But he was preaching that was really something new. That means that he was preaching, they did not hear that on the pulpit in those days. That was totally strange for that people. Why? John preached the baptism of repentance. He declared to the people that they must be converted. John the Baptist placed the sins of the people before him. And of course, they did not hear that in those days. As you know out of the word of God, that Jewish people that was resting upon this, that they were the seed of Abraham. They were the children of the covenant. But that they were sinners, they hear that not from any pulpit at the time. The Pharisees who were preaching in those days, they laid their hands upon that people because they were keeping the law. And by doing the things of the law, the demands of the law, then they were saved and would enter into heaven. Thus when John the Baptist came and he preached the necessity of conversion, then that was really for that people strange. John baptized never in Jerusalem, but he baptized on the river Jordan, outside of Jerusalem. And why? Because the time was there that it was done with the laws of the ceremony. That came to an end now. Because Christ came to fulfill all the demands of the law. And now that John the Baptist, he was very strong and sharp in his preaching. You have heard that by the reading this morning of that chapter. Then there came Sadducees and Pharisees to him. Then he said not to the people, I am glad to see you. I will give you the first place in our gathering. No. But he said, O generation of fighters. And if you are now not a generation of fighters, then you cannot accept us. Dear Father, now if through here, then he will say, John, say no more to me. Say no more to me. Het is mat gebeurd, als jij toestee hier. En dan John de Baptist, die eerste people, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come. And the only thing for a heathen and for a Jew, that is only bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Do not build the hope of your soul for half of eternity upon this, that Abraham was your father. That is no ground for eternity. John the Baptist, he spoke about that judgment that is coming and for which everyone has to appear. But that John the Baptist, he spoke also about Christ. Thus you find in the preaching of John, law and gospel, both. But the law serves people. The law serves. Because without the preaching of the law, then the preaching of the gospel that has no value for our soul for eternity. And now about Christ, John, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He, that Christ shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and its fire, whose pen is in his hand, and in a furly purse his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the calf with unquenchable fire. What was now the reason that Christ came to the preaching of John? Because you read in that text, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan. That was for two reasons that Christ came there. He came there to place a stamp upon the preaching of John the Baptist. And also upon the baptism of John. Because Christ, he declared there in public that John was called by the Lord, that his preaching was right, that was the only true preaching and right preaching to come first with the necessity of conversion. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan. Then John was preaching, and when John was baptizing the people, Christ came from Galilee to Jordan. It was a trip that had taken hours and hours to come to the preaching of John and to his baptism. Hours and hours. That is an example for us two people. Christ, from the beginning that he came in public, he had always accepted the ordinances of his Father. He had always loved them. He had given his time to be there as an example for us, even that they have to walk, even that they take out, but that they have to do everything to come under the knees of grace, because there the Lord will dwell and there the Lord will work. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John. Christ came. For years the people have not seen him, came not in contact with him. It was in the life of Christ to a certain extent almost the same as at John the Baptist. John the Baptist was in the wilderness, in the desert, a separate life. Christ was living in Nazareth. After that he came back with Joseph and Mary from Egypt. Then he had his dwelling place in Nazareth. The prophecy was fulfilled that he would be called a Nazarene. And that, of course, with that purpose, that he came in the world to seek and to save those that are lost. And there is not something else involved. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John. Clear enough, people. John came not to Christ, no, but Christ came to John. And that is necessary even today. If Christ never had come, then there was no hope and there was no expectation for anybody to be saved. Christ came from heaven as a servant of the Father. He came to fulfill, as the text said in this moment, all righteousness. In paradise we have separated ourselves from the Lord. And there is for men no more hope and no more expectation at all. Thus, humanly speaking, people, it never shall come up in my mind and in your mind to come to Christ. No. There are no thoughts about it. I told you sometime from this pulpit that for a man by nature, whether that he go to heaven or to hell, that is for him the same. Really, that is the same. And when we come in our life to a time that the Lord opens our blind eyes, and that we see that light that lay behind us, then we shall say, Lord, that is true. But now Jesus came to John. Jesus came to his people. He came to the lost sheep of Israel. He came to comfort them. He came to suffer for them. He came to die for them. And he came to restore them into communion and fellowship with God. Now the text said, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Thus the request of Christ was that John be baptized. no wonder that John the Baptist, that he refused them. No one John the Baptist, he had spoken about that Christ. What he thought about that Christ. There was a time in the life of John that he also did not know Christ. You find that in two places in the Bible. I don't know him. A converted boy. Before that he came in the world and still know not Christ. Because in that respect all God's people, that is the same congregation. We meet in our life, shall we come to the knowledge of Christ. We must have a personal revelation of him in our heart. That is also a promise that the Lord had given to his church. In John 14, there you read that Christ said, "And I will manifest myself unto them." And the manifestation of that Christ, that is, by the first time and by renewing, always when it is on our side a hopeless case. The Lord, he wastes not his grace, but he revealed himself and he glorified himself when there is place and need for him in our heart. That is always so. That is never changing, people. No. Now you can realize that John the Baptist, that he was looking so high up towards Christ that he refused. He said to Christ, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And if you now read that text, then you would think that man that was right. Because what minister you will take in the world, and humanly speaking, Christ came to them with such a request, he would refuse. And he would say no. And still, the refusal of John the Baptist, that was wrong. That was wrong. And why was that now wrong? Because even John the Baptist, he was missing there the right insight in the necessity of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was without sin, without original, and without actual sin. He was, as you read in Luke 1, he was that Holy One that was born out of Mary. He was the one of whom Paul declared in Hebrews 7, verse 25, "For such een high priest, de king us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That was Christ. And now that Christ came to John to be baptized of him, you would say, John was right and Christ was wrong. But now the nature of John that was offended upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the pride in the heart of John the Baptist. Of course, he had no idea about it because he was thinking he was right. But now Christ desired to be baptized of him. And what means now the baptizing? Of course, Christ has to go under the water. Because John the Baptist, he baptized in the water of Jordan. Not as sprinkling as we do. And even the word baptism that refers in the Latin language to a word that means finally deep, going under. And of course now man by nature, he has to sink away forever under the wrath of God. When the Lord opens our eyes, people, then we come to the realization, against thee, I have sinned, and I have done what is evil in thy holy sight. And then there is more involved, because David, he said in that same text, I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. This David, he acknowledged there the justice and the righteousness of God. In other words, the Lord has to condemn us, to cast us away out of his sight. Was that not so with Christ? No. That was not so with Christ as a person, but the necessity of that was there as the mediator of the covenant, because Christ, he had taken upon him all the sins and all the iniquities of his church. And now, circumcision that must take place in the Old Testament when the children were 8 days old. 8 days. And if they were not circumcised, then it was the law of the Lord that those parents, they would be placed outside of the camp. That was the censor that came upon the parents that did not circumcise the children. That circumcision, that was an entrance in the house of the Lord. Hallenbrook, he said, an engrafting in the church. That is what baptism is.
And that is not that only the baptism with water, as what we have done this morning, no, but it refers to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot enter into the gate of righteousness without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a necessity. Therefore, people, we have to look higher than that water of baptism. We have to look up to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The necessity that we receive that for our own heart and soul. And of Christ, he was born out of a womb, under the law. And now the law of the Old Testament was circumcised. But the law of the New Testament, that they be baptized. We must be baptized. And the baptizing that refers in the first place to that point, that men acknowledge that he is worthy to be condemned and to be cast away forever. But now the people that was baptized by John and also Christ, one moment they go under, but that other moment they came up out of the water. And now Christ must be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Because in the baptism of Christ, there lay his death and resurrection. He died for our offenses, and he was risen up for our justification. But the blessing that Christ, as the mediator, and as the head of his church, that he was baptized, not that he is needed for himself, we know that. We have no more to explain that. But he did it as the head of the church. And that now God's people, that they have the immediate fruit of his death and his resurrection. The death of Christ is necessary to the satisfying of God's justice, and to bear our transgressions and our punishments. But now the rising up out of that water, that refers to the victory of Christ, that means that he is being risen out of the death, and death to apply what he has merited for his people and for his children. In other words, the false salvation for the church that lay alone, that lay only in Christ, in that mediator and savior of the church. Therefore, John the Baptist, he called the people out of Jerusalem, from the law of the ceremony, from all the works of the law, and they have to come on Jordan to accept their condemnation, to accept for himself that they have no right to any blessing, thou to be cast away by the Lord. But now, on the other side, that privilege that now Christ was risen to the justification of his church. That now the whole church is comprehended in them. And where Christ now had entered into the gate of righteousness, now he has opened also that gate for all his people and for all his children. And on the basis of his baptism shall now that people also enter into communion and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was for Christ something to persuade John the Baptist. Because the people in that day, even the converted people, they were that so much in their mind about an earthly kingdom. You find that with the disciples too, that even the day that they were walking with Christ to the Mount of Olives, that he would enter into heaven, then they asked him still that morning about that early kingdom. And you can see congregation, David, he said, open my eyes, that I see the wonders of thy law. And now is Christ and his work that is so hidden and concealed for us. It must be revealed from heaven to our own heart and soul. And that not once, no, but time and again in our life. Because there is so much darkness left in our heart and in our soul. Even the closer that we come to heaven, the more that we shall acknowledge the necessity, send thy light and thy truth that they guide me free. That we are still so ignorant and so dumb that we have to say, Lord, I don't know. Therefore, the ministration of the Holy Spirit in our heart that is so necessary to bring us in the mysteries of faith. Christ must fulfill all righteousness, and therefore he has to die. There was no other way. Peter, he said in Matthew 16, that shall never happen. And still later on, he took a sword and he cut off the ear of Moses. So ignorant. Shall we be different? No. We shall not be different. We are the same people. Even that the love of God is poured out in our hearts. But so much darkness about the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, he said, suffer it to be so now. He would say, O John, even that you have no light over it, even that you don't know why. But then you read finally, that he suffered him. He accepted, he fell under it, he did. And then of course, the baptizing of Christ that was also that take place there, in the same time that Christ was installed in his office. And from that time on, then he was preaching the gospel after that he was tempted by the devil. There's the baptizing of Christ that having great meaning. And of course, now there is a baptism of infants and adults, but finally it is all the same thing. It refers to our condemnation in Adam and our restoration in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was baptized not because it was necessary for him personally, but it was necessary for his youth. And therefore he had done it. And now the main thing is, people, that we baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, shall it be well for that great and ever-ending eternity. and I'd say something about young me had no light over it. Twas the same with Peter later on, when Christ took was the feet of the disciples. Then the Peter was looking to the moment that Christ would come, with a beckon to him, and then he said no. No. Later on then he said, then my head, then my feet, then my hands, and everything. That is now meant. Because he was still, he did not understand it. No. Oh, I think so many times people, then shall we understand it is right. If God's people come in heaven, if he come in heaven, because then the darkness that is all gone, and then there are no more problems, but then they have the full light over the ways of the Lord. Nevertheless, young and old, did we ever realize that we are condemned in Adam? And that on the side of man that there is never any hope to restore. And never any hope that he come in contact with the Lord. But it is only to Christ and him crucified. In the way of his deep humiliation, but also that he applying the way of his exaltation, that he has merited for his church and for his people, young and old. So far as you are sitting here, all of you were baptized, all of you, but now baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire, that is something else. And that is necessary above everything shall be well for eternity. Oh, we have to learn that we are black as an Ethiopian and as a Moor. And that in all that soot that there is in the world, that we never be clean in the sight of the Lord. But it is only when we are washed with the blood of Christ, then we are whiter than snow. As David said in Psalm 51, of that the necessity of the baptizing of Christ and our own baptizing through him, that was so bound upon our soul, people, that there was a continual need in our hearts to be sprinkled with that blood, to have a free access to the Lord, to his throne and to his heart. And even in the hour of death, that blood had to be revealed into our soul, because even our last tear and our last sigh, that must be washed in the blood of Christ, on account that there is so much involved of us, and that shall remain till the last moment of our life. And we will come out of it, but that shall never take place. No. Sinking deeper away in ourselves, and Christ can take us up, and he shall take up his people and to bring them there, where they have no more to complain about their sins, and now not no more to confess their sins, because in that new Jerusalem there are clean and holy forever and forever. That be the comfort of God's people. And that it humble us in the dust, that now that Savior and that Mediator, that he had given himself to be baptized, and that to the eternal welfare of his people and of his children, and my uncomforted fellow travelers, oh, that he seeks up the blood of Christ to justification, to sanctification, and also to give us a right to the heart of the Father, that all our needs, temporal and spiritual, and that Christ become for us all and in all. Amen. Lord, bless the few words spoken in this morning hour. Forgive all the shortcomings. Sanctify it to our souls, the baptism of Christ, and that we are comprehended in it, then it shall be well for us for time and for eternity. Be further with us in other part of this day. Look upon us from on high. Bring us back in other part of this day. And give us to experience thy presence, thy love and kindness. Forgive our sins. Strengthen those who have to catechize the children. And that the children receive receptive hearts. And that for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 124. We pray this morning for Mr. Beckett, who is with us again this morning, and also for Mr. Booth, who lost his only brother. Number 124. My heart does overflow. A goodly theme is mine. 124.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.